The letters were scrawled under the lift's metal panel. Tiny black words. I had to squint to make them out. Press -3 three times to unlock the hidden floor. I snorted. The lift in my block of flats isn't exactly short of graffiti. But for the most part, it isn't worth a second look. Swear words, phone numbers, bulbous, badly drawn dicks. The kind of stuff bored teenagers scratch onto any available surface to amuse themselves. At least this new edition was original. I set down my two rubbish bags and pressed -1. Hesitated with my finger hovering over the button. I don't know if I did what I did next in tribute to the graffiti's mystery author, or simply because I'd had a few post-work beers and felt the urge. Whatever the reason, I barely gave it any thought at all. I pushed the button twice more. It might have been the worst mistake I've ever made. The lift juddered into life. I flicked my gaze up to the digital display above the sliding metal doors, watching the numbers count down from 7, 6, 5, 4. I've always hated taking the bins out. Yes, I know, nobody enjoys doing it. Like cleaning or washing up, it's one of those chores that's pretty hard to get excited by. But something about the block of flats I live in makes the job even worse. It's not like being in a house where you can wander down the garden and pop your rubbish outside the back gate. Taking the bins out in my flat means going down to the bin room, down to the basement. Let me set the scene for you. The bin room is a tiny, claustrophobic box that's accessed through a sealed door in my building's lower car park. The reason it's sealed is because of the smell. The room stinks. I don't just mean in a, oh dear, this is a bit unpleasant kind of way. I mean the place is goddamn rotten. Black mold covers the ceiling, rat boxes hug the walls. There are about 8 skips in there, and although half of them are meant to be used for recycling, nobody recycles. Even I don't. I tried it first, but it was like fighting a losing battle. Every skip is filled to the brim with black bin bags, half of which are split and spilling their contents over the floor. I really hope God is reserving a spot in heaven for the people who empty that room every week, because let me tell you, those poor buggers deserve it. 3, 2, 1. By this point, I'd half forgotten about the graffitied instructions. I was already mentally holding my breath. I reached down and gripped the two rubbish bags, ready to take the plunge. 0, -1. For a moment, the display hovered on -1, without doing anything. The lift whirred and whirred. I was having visions of being forced to use the emergency button to get building management to come and rescue me when the thing finally lumbered to a stop. The lift let out a cheerful ding noise and settled into place. The doors slid open. Oh shame, no hidden floor after all. I muttered the words to myself as I stepped out into the little no man's land that constitutes the basement foyer. God, the place is grim. Stained carpet, damp walls, more graffiti marks, mingling with patches of mold that creep down from the ceiling like dead flowers. Holding my breath, I walked to the left, dumped one of my rubbish bags down, and hit the door release button. Then I scooped the bag back up and made my way into the lower car park. Hearing my footsteps echo around the deserted space, I was suddenly reminded of the other reason I don't like doing the bins. It's kind of creepy down there. The basement level of my building is dark, no matter what time of day it is. There never seems to be anyone around. The size of the space has a weird effect on sound too. Doors shutting, the scrape of shoes over the concrete. Every noise has a light reverberation, as though it's being doubled. Walking around down there, it's all too easy to imagine. You're being followed. In the interest of getting the job done quickly, I adopted my usual routine. I held my breath, opened the door to the bin room with one hand, and slung the rubbish bags through it without stepping foot inside. The noise of the bags crashing down amongst the rest of crap in there made me flinch. It sounded far too loud in the stillness. Dusting my hands off, I shut the door to the bin room and quickly made my way back across the car park. My footsteps echoed in the silence. A light breeze chilled my skin. I fumbled my building pass out my pocket and swiped it against the basement foyer door, then half-jogged across the lobby area to push the lift button. The door to the lower car park snicked shut behind me. I shivered, doing my best not to look at the mold on the ceiling. I stared hard at the doors of the lift, willing them to open, trying to ignore the smell. After what seemed like a full minute, the familiar whirring noise started up again. The metal doors creaked, then began to slide apart. I felt my body turn cold. There was a man in the lift. He wore a dark suit and smart black shoes. I couldn't tell how old he was. Couldn't tell anything about what he looked like, in fact, because he wasn't facing me. He was standing in the far corner of the lift, facing the wall, not moving, completely silent. Now, I've seen a whole range of horror films in my 30-odd years, but for some reason, the sight of that man disturbed me more than any of them put together. I think it was two things: the shock of seeing someone in the lift at all, so soon after I'd left it, coupled with the fact that this guy was obviously cracked. He had to be, or so drunk he could barely stand. I took a step towards the lift. The man didn't move, and the more I stared at him, the more my mind began to dismiss the drunk theory. The guy didn't look like he'd been drinking. He wasn't slouched or leaned against the wall in a way drunk people do. He stood rigid, his back completely straight, his head level. "You okay, mate?" I regretted the words as soon as they were out. They were far too loud in the silence of the basement. I almost flinched at the sound of them. I watched the man's back closely. I expected some kind of reaction from him when I spoke, but there was none. Nothing. He stayed in exactly the same position as before, facing the corner of the lift, unmoving. It was at this point that I made my second biggest mistake. I walked into the lift with him and pressed the button for my floor. I still don't understand why I did it. What the hell was I thinking? I could have climbed the stairs instead. That's what I should have done. But for some reason, possibly because I lived so high up in the building, maybe because I just didn't want to admit how freaked out I was, I stepped in. The man remained where he was. The lift whirred around me, and then the doors rolled shut. I felt my heart pick up as the lift began its slow climb. The space was cramped, and I stood as far away from the strange man as I could, my back pressed against the control panel, one eye on him, one eye on the digital display above the lift's doors. 0, 1, 2. My hands were slick with sweat. The only sound in the lift was the gentle whir of the mechanism. My heart thumped in my chest. I kept flicking my gaze between the doors and the stranger, willing the lift to hurry. But it seemed to be taking far longer than usual. 3, 4, 5. It was as the lift hit the 6th floor that I heard it. The noise, a soft, gentle hiss, like escaping steam. At first, I thought it was the lift's mechanism making the sound, But a few moments later, I realized I was wrong. It was coming from the direction of my fellow passenger. I stared at him, my heartbeat punching in my chest. That's when I saw movement. Not from his body, that remained completely still, but from the lower half of his head. I couldn't see his face, but from my angle, I could just make out the side of his jaw. It twitched back and forth rapidly. The man was whispering under his breath. The lift dinged. I bit my lip to stop myself crying out. Heat pricked every inch of my skin. As the lift juttered and whirred, the man's whispering grew louder. It sounded like he was muttering a string of nonsense sounds. The same noises over and over again, in a never-ending loop. Wastaka beyonda, wastaka beyonda, wastaka beyonda. I shuffled as close to the lift's entrance as I could. The mechanism whirred and clanked, but the doors remained shut. Come on, for goodness sake. My heartbeat was up in my neck now, a relentless drumbeat. The man's whispering grew louder. He started putting more emphasis on certain words, almost spitting them. A fraction of a second before the doors opened, I finally made out what he was saying, and it sent a chill down the length of my back. Wasta Kambianda, Wasta Kambianda, Wasta Kambianda. That one phrase, spoken so fast, again and again, that the words blur together. What's done can't be undone. The doors rumbled open behind me. I hurried from the lift. Behind me, the man's whispering stopped. When I glanced back once before I rounded the corner, he was standing in the exact same position, facing the corner of the lift, his body still. I drank a lot that night. After making sure my front door was locked, as well as each of the windows, I went to the fridge and scooped out all the beers I could find. Then I sat in front of the TV and knocked them back one after the other. By the time I finally stumbled into my room, throwing my clothes in a pile on the floor and passing out on the bed, it was well after midnight. I woke a short while later. I must have been having nightmares, because I dragged myself out of sleep in that horrible, lurching way you do after a bad dream. You know, when it feels like you've been holding your breath and you're finally coming up for air. I lay on my side in the bed, panting in the darkness. My mouth felt like cotton. The room was silent around me. I reached out a hand towards my bedside table, fumbling in the darkness, until I finally found a lamp. I flicked the switch. Weak yellow light bathed the room. It was empty. I saw the familiar shapes of my furniture in the gloom, but nothing else. I let out a breath that I hadn't realized I'd been holding. Of course the room was empty. I'd had a nightmare, that was all. That was what had woken me up. You're working yourself up over nothing, I told myself in the darkness, acting like a 10 years old again. But no matter what I said to myself, what my rational mind knew to be true, I couldn't shake the feeling of unease in my stomach. I turned over and lay on my back, trying to clear my mind. It wasn't easy. My ears suddenly seemed to have become sensitive to every tiny noise in the flat. The drip of the tap in the kitchen, a creak of pipes behind the walls, the faint hum of traffic drifting in from the road outside, and something else too, a soft, distant humming sound, almost like a whisper. Don't, I told myself. Don't do it. But lying in the twilight of my room, it seemed my mind had other ideas. The more I tried to relax, the more I kept conjuring images from my encounter in the lift. The metal door sliding back, the man in the suit, his jaw twitching back and forth as he whispered the same words over and over. What's done can't be undone. I swung my legs out of bed. If my mind was going to refuse to play ball, I wasn't going to indulge it. No way. I'd get up, stretch my legs, and go get myself a glass of water. I might not be able to force myself to relax, but I could at least take care of my dry mouth. I padded barefoot across the floor. The light from my bedside lamp faded behind me as I entered the hall. The plink, plink, plink from the tap grew louder. Up ahead, I could see the kitchen door, a faint outline in the darkness. My feet whispered across the carpet, and there was another sound too. The same noise I'd heard a moment earlier, lying in bed. As I continued down the hall, I realized it was growing louder. That soft humming, a quiet noise that was so terribly close to a whisper. It was coming from the kitchen. For a moment, I had the urge to go back, to simply retreat to the lamplit room of my bedroom, but I dismissed it. I wasn't going to let fear get the better of me. Ignoring the growing unease in my stomach, I walked through the kitchen door and flicked on the light. And I let out another long breath. The humming noise was coming from the fridge. That was all. It wasn't a whisper at all. It was only the soft whir of my fridge's compressor. I should have recognized the sound as soon as I heard it. Shaking my head, I grabbed a glass from the cupboard, filled it up at the sink, and downed the contents in one. Then I filled it one more time and flicked the kitchen light off. Heading back towards the glow of my bedroom, I started feeling tired again. My mind was beginning to slow down. I'd had a scare earlier, that was true. An odd encounter with some weirdo that would, in all likelihood, have freaked anyone out. But now it was time to let it go. I had work the following day, and I didn't need to be losing any more sleep over nothing. I walked back through the door of my bedroom, rubbing my eyes. My foot knocked into the pile of clothes I'd left on the floor the night before. I opened my eyes, planning to kick them to one side, and saw a shape in my peripheral vision. I screamed. The man from the lift stood in the corner of my room. In the lamp's weak glow, he was nothing more than a shadow, a dark shape standing stationary among the other dark shapes, facing the wall, completely still, just like before. The glass of water slipped from my hand. I heard it smashing onto the floor, but the noise seemed to come from a long way away. Cold liquid splattered my legs, the sensation cutting through the worst of my shock. I turned to run. As I twisted towards my door, my feet tangled in the pile of clothes, and I went down, hard, on the carpet. My knee flared with agony. I pushed myself back up, ignoring the pain, and sprinted from the room as fast as I could. I caught one final glimpse of the man before I skidded into the hallway on my way to the front door. He was still frozen in the exact same position, a living statue. I don't really know what my plan was. As I wrenched open the latch on my front door and fled into the hallway, wearing only my boxer shorts, I had nothing but terror in my head, black fear. My feet carried me away from the flat, away from the stranger in my bedroom, and I led them. But my instinct must have been working on some level. Less than 30 seconds after fleeing my bedroom, I found myself standing in front of the lift, my finger hammering repeatedly on the call button. And for once, the lift didn't have to drag itself from the ground floor. The doors opened straight away. I think at that point, I was only trying to get as far away from the silent man as I could. My finger darted towards the zero button on the metal panel. But at the last minute, I stopped myself. It was the graffiti that did it. The writing was still there. Those familiar, tiny black letters. But the words had changed. It was subtle, but I noticed it straight away. Now, instead of reading, "Press -3 three times to unlock the hidden floor," the words read, "Press -3 three times to seal the hidden floor." My eyes lingered on the words for a second, making certain. Then I punched the button so hard my finger hurt. 3 times. I shut my eyes and prayed. All of this happened last night. The trip to the bin room, the man in the lift, the same man standing silently in my room. The images won't leave my head. The fear hasn't gone away either. I love to say that it's all over now, that I can tell you this story safe in the knowledge that my ordeal has finished. But I can't say that. I'd only be lying to myself. At first, I thought the graffiti instructions had put things back to normal. I thought I'd fix things. I took the stairs from the basement up to the ground floor lobby of my block of flats, then waited there in my boxers until the cold numbed the worst of my fear. Eventually, I crept back upstairs. The door to my flat was wide open, just as I'd left it. The hall beyond was dark. I tiptoed along it, the fear seeping back into me like cold water, telling myself over and over again that everything would be okay now. I followed the instructions after all. The man would be gone. And he was. I rounded the corner of my bedroom, skin coated in goosebumps. And there was nobody there. I let out a long, shaky breath. The stranger had left. Or at least, I thought he'd left. Now, sitting in my flat, as the sky outside begins to lose its light, I'm not so sure at all. I keep thinking I've caught glimpses of him, see? It's been happening over and over again throughout the day. Everywhere I go, I see him. In the distance on the street, in crowds, on my commute to work this morning, standing at the far end of the train carriage. I see him in reflections too. Just quick glimpses. There and gone again. I know how that sounds, but it's true. It's like his shadow's following me. In the bathroom mirror this morning, as I was getting ready for work, in the windows of cars passing me on the street, as I bent down to wash my hands in the sink at lunchtime, I even thought I caught a glimpse of him in the shining metal of the tap. I spun around, heart jackhammering in my chest. But there was nobody there. And then, there are the whispers. His whispers. At various points in the day, I found myself sitting still, mind wandering, and it's like I hear them out of nowhere. That same phrase again and again, hissing in my ear. What's done can't be undone. What's done can't be undone. What's done can't be undone. More and more, I find myself suspecting there might be some truth to that. I think I may have triggered something when I pressed the button in the lift yesterday, tapped into some unimaginable gateway that I have no way of shutting. The thing really did it. The final thing that made me certain I haven't seen the last of the silent stranger was what I found in the lift when I returned home from work. what happened to the graffiti and the metal control panel. The words from yesterday were still there, the instructions for sealing the hidden floor. But now, they've been crossed out, scribbled over in red pen, and whoever had done it had added the following shaky message. The doors cannot be sealed until all passengers are inside. Back when I was a little kid, I'd sometimes wake in the middle of the night. I wouldn't be able to get back to sleep again. I'd lie with my eyes open, staring into the never-ending darkness, and I'd imagine that every shadow was a monster out to get me. But now I don't have to imagine. Now I don't need my mind to twist innocuous shapes into ghosts and demons. Because this monster is real. And I have a feeling he'll be back to visit me again soon.